Okay, so today we are talking about growing in the prophetic. And so growing in the prophetic is something that we should all be looking to do. The prophetic shouldn't be something just for companies of prophets. It should be happening in every local church. And whether it's a big church expression or a small expression like this, the prophetic should be part of our life. It should be a way of life for us. Now, the prophetic is how we stay connected to the future, how we stay connected to the vision God has for us, how we stay connected to what He's expressing in the earth. Last week, we started talking about judging prophecy. You know, I think this is a really key time because now more than ever, there are prophetic words and prophetic dreams and prophetic visions. They're flying all over the internet. And then we were just talking about a prophetic dream with Tina that she had 20 years ago. You know, I mean, just significant dreams that speak about the future. And we need to know how to judge those things in light of the context of the Word of God and how we can apply them for us. So it's kind of a quick recap. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 19 says, "Do not quench the spirit, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good." You know, this really reminds me that we're all vessels. It says, "Examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good," which means that there's parts that flow through human vessels that aren't good. And we have to examine it by the Spirit of the Lord and say, "God, what are you saying in this? Has anyone ever given you a prophetic word and like half of it resounds with you? You're like, yes, that's the word of the Lord. And then they say this other thing. You're like, oh, I don't know about that." Right? The Bible says, hold fast to that which is good. Don't despise prophetic utterances. In other words, don't throw out prophecy because it's flowing through flawed human vessels. Don't throw it out if someone misses it, or they're swinging for the fences, giving a prophetic word, don't throw out the whole prophecy. Listen for God's voice. The Bible, you know, talks about how the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're sons of God. And so the Holy Spirit on the inside of you bears witness with prophetic words. When you hear a prophetic word or you hear prophetic dreams, most of the time, there are times when it is brand new information and it's directional and you should follow that. But I would say the majority of the times that I've experienced that, when I'm hearing a prophetic word or I'm hearing a dynamic vision or a prophecy, it's confirming what God's already doing in my spirit. And I hear it and I say, yes, I knew it. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, and you say, yes, I agree. And then you jump on board and you run full force. So examining is significant force. All prophecy is subject to judgment. There is no prophecy that comes out of human vessels is to be recognized as the pure 100% Word of God. I mean, the Bible, we hold this as our final authority. If this says green light and we say red light, we have to repent and go green light. If this says don't steal, and I like to steal, I have to decide I'm going to repent and stop stealing. Right? It's this thing says jump, and you say, how high? Right? It says go into all the world. You say, well, that's not my personality. He's like, go into all the world. Doesn't matter if it's your personality. Go. Like, it's, you adjust to the Word of God. You know, we don't do that with prophetic words. We don't do that with prophetic dreams. You know, it's not the unblemished Word of God. And so that means human prophecy has to be judged. We hold fast to that which is good. We examine it. We say, yes, that's God, and I'm going to move on that. And you know, when you don't understand something, it doesn't mean to throw it out. It just means set it aside. A lot of times, you don't know what to do with parts of a prophecy, and you don't need to throw it out. You just need to put it on the shelf and then wait. I've gotten some prophetic words, man, that I'm like, I don't even know what to do with that. Like, it doesn't ring with me. It doesn't sound like it's God. And then I come find out later, oh, wow, it came to pass. So when you're not sure what to do with it, just set it down, okay? So 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, "Let two or three prophets speak, and let others pass judgment." This tells us that even prophets of the first prophets are subject to judgment as well. Prophets' words are subject to judgment. Prophets do minister in a greater grace, but it says let two or three of them speak, and let the others pass judgment. So not just believers' words are subject to judgment; prophets are too. And so when prophetic words go forward, they should bear fruit in your life. They should actually inspire you to get closer to God. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." So the prophetic culture, when it's moving among us, talking is about building and strengthening people. When someone is down and they're feeling heavy, you know what they need? They need prophetic words. They need someone to come alongside them and say, hey, you know what? You're going to get through this. Hey, you know what? God's going to use this season for your good. Let's ask God what he's doing in this season right now where things are difficult. Let's seek God, and they can use prophetic words. They say, yes, yes, and it gives them strength, and they can get through it. What about warning words, warning dreams, warning visions, these types of things? You know, they're very real. You shouldn't despise them when you hear that kind of stuff. And when it's floating, I mean, there's viral videos on Facebook and YouTube right now. You shouldn't ignore the warning dreams. A lot of people are anti-warning, anti-bad news, you know. But I'm going to say, don't ignore it. You should talk to the Lord about it. Say, God, okay, God, this is the warning. So what is your redemptive plan in the earth? 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that we're given the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
And so when you hear bad news from a prophet or from just anybody, ask God, God, what is your plan? Because we're given the ministry of reconciliation. You know, we're not given the ministry of inspiring fear across the earth. If you have someone has a bad thing and you send the entire body of Christ into fear, that's what, I'm not sure if that's helping anybody, you know. But if you say, this is what I believe God's saying, and so now let's pray and say, God, what do you want to do? And that's part of what we're doing in September, is saying, God, we want to honor your word. What do you want to do? What is the ministry of reconciliation? How do you respond? When Abraham was spoken to by God about Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 18 or 19, God shows him, hey, Sodom and Gomorrah, the cry has come up to me, and judgment's about to fall on this place. These guys are about to, you know, they're turning into lightning rods. These guys are going to be toast here pretty quick. And God tells Abraham what he's about to do. And Abraham says, God, would you spare the city if there's 50 righteous? Would you spare the city if there's 40? And, the, you know, it goes down in numbers. Abraham, I think, really models the correct response. And, you know, he's who we regard as the father of the faith. He looked at a situation. God showed him destruction was coming, and he chose to become an intercessor. Mm-hmm. He chose to stand before God so he could stand between God and a situation. So he sees judgment coming, and Abraham says, whoa, 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 whoa. Would you spare it, God? Now, I think we're in the same situation, that when you hear these prophetic words and dreams and it looks like fire's coming down on certain people groups or certain situations, I want to encourage you to be an Abraham. Say, God, but Lord, would you spare it? So sometimes I think God lets us in on what's happening so he can reveal what's in our heart.
Amen.
When God reveals to you what's happening, do you decide to build a platform based on prophesying what's going to happen? And if you build a platform by prophesying what's going to happen, then it happens. Your whole ministry is built on bringing judgment. You know, like you can't, that can't be the final goal. But if you can be humble and say, God, I see something's coming. Lord, what would you do? What would you have me do? Lord, would you spare the city, God? What will it take? God, your umbrella of covering is over me, so why don't I go there and I'll jump in, God. Hey, don't destroy it. I'm here. Maybe God wants to send you into an environment.
Come on.
When you see fire or destruction is coming, judgment from God, from sowing and reaping, what would you do?
Right.
I mean, I think it's different for every person, but if some judgment's about to come on something, why not jump in and say, God, I'll intercede. I'll be an intercessor. Amen. For it. Lord, would you withhold the reaping from the sin that's been sown? You know, we can't change the fact. I don't know how many millions of babies it is now have been aborted. How do you know that blood speaks? Mm-hmm. And that blood cries out for justice. No. That's a problem. Right? And so I want to encourage us. We are in a moment because of that, those things have taken place. We've got to pray. There is a necessity to pray right now. And without prayer, in the absence of prayer, in the absence of prayer and fasting, in the absence of the people of God calling on God, you know, the fire hit Sodom. Yep. If Abraham would have said that one, he'd have got it. He didn't get down to one. He stopped at, I think, 10. Right? If he'd have said that one, God said, I'll spare it for 10. An entire city. How many know there's more than 10 people in this room? And you know, should things come to pass, and should things come, the model and pattern in Scripture is that God keeps His people in the midst of it.
Come on.
But our desire is not only to be kept in the midst of it, but God, would you lift it off of our brother too that yes. doesn't know you yet? Yes. God, would you? God, we pray for that one that doesn't know you. Would you give them an opportunity to know
yes.
you?
Amen.
Our brother that passed away, there was just a short window, but man, he was sowing to something. And it came back. That sucks. Sucks to use that. So let's have an appropriate response to warning. Let's ask God, what is your redemptive plan? What's it mean to submit to a prophetic word? Have you ever thought about that? Hebrews 13:7 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. For this would be unprofitable for you. So in judging prophetic words, what does it mean to submit the word? It means, it says, honor your leaders as those who give oversight. It means if you get a radical word about something that, you know, that Gil is called to Indonesia, and, you know, Gil doesn't know that yet, you know, it'd be a good idea to submit that word. That means to bring it to whoever your leader is and say, hey, what do you think about this? God, what do you say? Brother, what do you say about this? God, what do you say about it? Talk to God and then talk to the authority that He's put in your life. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about this stuff because not everyone likes to hear authority messages and authority stuff. But I'll tell you right now, it is more needed than any other time because there's such potential of people falling into deception. This isn't about controlling people. It's about keeping your heart pure and upright mm-hmm. before God. If you look through Scripture, the warnings in the last days are about deception. You know, there are a lot of problems happening, but the biggest problem is just falling away from the church.
Come on.
That's no bueno. Man, it's our generation. I mean, I believe we're in the generation that we'll see the Lord return. You know, we're going to see Him come back. So submitting the word, I mean, there are times when we are giving words to someone that they're significant and they're directional and they're about your purpose and calling. It's good to submit those things, especially if you're not sure or if you're new in prophecy. What about when God speaks to you in a divine way? It's not the daily walk with God, the still small voice, but a directional shift. It's good, you know, if you were just like you'd receive a prophetic word, a directional shift for somebody else, it's good to submit that word. It's good to say, hey, this is what I feel God's saying. What do you think about it? Does this ring true? I think this is what God's doing. You know, it's humility. It's practicing humility, saying, this is what I believe God did. What do you think about it? Does this sound right? Does this ring true with you? And now we have the same spirit, so we should be in agreement. You know, when you submit a word, I'm guilty of done this. When you're submitting a word, it's not wise to start with, the Lord told me to do this. Right? When you say, the Lord told me to go to Africa, what do you think? You're basically removing the ability for it to be judged. You're saying, this is what I'm going to do and I want your blessing. Right? But when you say, this is what I think God's doing this in me, Does this resonate with you? It's called submitting the word. It's submission. It's a healthy thing. It's healthy for you as individuals. And you know, one of the things leaders do in submitting that, in submitting words, in judging words, is they guard you from derailing. You know what I mean to derail? Derail means you're on a path that God's going to bring a blessing in your life, and the word takes you off the path. Mm. And now that blessing is not going to hit you. Or it's going to hit you out of time. Or you won't be there when it was supposed to be there. Derailing. The derailing words aren't necessarily bad words. It's not necessarily a destruction. It's, boop, I'm off the tracks. And now I'm over here. Derailing. That's healthy to say, bring the word to a brother, to a sister, to a pastor, and say, what do you say about this? Submitting the word. So we have to judge these things. Visions are flying, and they're going to increase. They're only going to increase right now. And so let's do it together. Let's not make it weird. Let's not be, well, no one's looking for a power play here. Like, let's just be family and like walk together in love and learn how to grow in these things. You know, it's the way it should be. So it brings us to kind of where we're at today. That was last week. Today I wanted to talk about the word etiquette. Who knows what the word etiquette means? Anybody? What? Can someone give me a definition of etiquette? Okay, let's try.
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay.
Just proper conduct.
Okay. That's pretty good. And a synonym would be protocol. Yes, yeah, for proper conduct. So I sent out that picture of me yesterday in the operating room with the mask, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing. You know, when I got into surgical sales, there's proper protocol for entering an operating room. You know, if there's a body on the table, someone's joint or something is about to be put back together, there's a protocol for everyone who enters in and everyone that leaves. There's a right way to enter in, and the places that you're supposed to stand, and there are places you are not supposed to be in. You know, in the operating table, there's the patient right here, and there are certain things draped in blue, and that's our thing to remember, stay away from the blue. Because the blue is what we call a sterile field, and anything that enters into that sterile field has to be sterile, or the entire field is contaminated. And so if I walk into an operating room and someone's on the table, surgeons are doing their thing, you know, they're just like astronauts with all their gear, and they have that back table draped in blue, and I come in my Starbucks coffee, and I say, hey guys, how's it going? And I put the coffee on the table. Let me tell you something. I'm in for a rude awakening. That entire room knows the protocol. And everyone's going to turn around to me and just say, what are you doing? And the surgeon's going to say, out. He will kick you out of that OR. Because they're going to have to redo the whole thing. The patient's under anesthetic. I mean, there's a lot of factors going on. So to break protocol is get kicked out of the OR situation. So there's an etiquette. There's a protocol. One of the things that I had to learn coming in was there's a certain way that we have to behave. There's not loud chatter. There's a way of conducting myself there. Mm-hmm. There are X-ray machines that are a big like arm, like a C-arm. And they're sterile. They're draped. And you can only stand so close to it because if you just nick it, you've contaminated it. And you're bringing it into a open patient. It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Prophetic words are a lot like surgery. They are precision words. They come in and they are there to build inside of people. And so as we learn prophetic, we're really stepping into something that is on a high level, and we have to learn the protocol for giving prophetic words. We have to have proper etiquette so that we know how to give words in a way that builds people up, that leaves them better off than where they were before the word. Some people need deliverance from their last deliverance. You know, they have this experience, and there's all kinds of issues and things that happen during that deliverance time, and prophetic words are flying, but then corrective stuff is happening, and then, you know, all kinds of and they have to get freedom from, this is what my pastor did to me, you know. So there's protocol for this kind of thing. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 11 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. That means there is a time to bring a word and there's a time not to bring a word. There is a moment when it fits right there and you need to bring the word. But even Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, hey guys, I have a lot more to tell you, but not right now. That they weren't ready to receive it. If Jesus is the perfect representation of love, love can discern the right and wrong time to deliver a word.
Yes.
And that's truly the motivation of the prophetic, as it should be in love. When we prophesy over people, you should feel the love of God coming right into them. Mm. It should be an encounter with the voice of God. It should resonate on the inside of them. Mm. Not about goosebumps, but the virtue of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39 through 40 says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but all things must be done properly and in orderly manner. You know, order, I think, has been overbreached where I grew up, because we had lots of things going on in church. Like, I would be leading worship on the piano, which it was this big acoustic piano. And I would play, and about three songs into it, we had this lady. Anybody had a lady? We had a lady. That when the music came down and it was about that time to transition, tongues and prophecy. And it was okay. It was not a problem. We're happy to have tongues and prophecy. It's not no problem, man. I think we should have more. But in my opinion at the time, it left the spirit and got into the flesh. It was authentic, but then it became a problem, because now we were entering in worship and we were going vertical. But how many know when tongues, 1 Corinthians 12, when tongues go out to man, they require an interpretation biblically. There should be interpretation. When tongues go vertical to God, that's praise with my heart, praise with my spirit, praise with understanding. No problem. People want to sing in tongues all day, go for it. But when they began to prophesy in tongues to people, it was out of order. So what does it mean to be out of order? A lot of people think it's, oh, well, that means you need permission before you give a word. I said, yeah, that's fine, but I think the better definition is it's to come out of alignment with the ministry that God's doing. And so if we are worshiping vertical, you know, don't unplug God and plug yourself in. That would be out of order. Does that make sense? And so that makes sense in this setting. What about out there when you're ministering to people? You know, there's a time to bring the word in alignment and right season to them so that it's building and edifying. So order isn't about control. It's about alignment, and so that we stay in the flow of ministry. It's the responsibility of the leader to keep that funnel coming. We were at a conference last year where the pastor was, he was in ministry, and he invited a guy to come play the trumpet. Remember this? And the ministry was flowing up to Jesus. He said, hey man, come play the trumpet. He's a famous trumpet player. Come play this song, and it's going to be this awesome performance. And he must have talked for 45 minutes before he played the song. And what did he do? He unplugged and began to preach out. And he began to take it a different direction. That is what out of order is. It's out of alignment. He stepped out of the flow of the anointing. Order isn't to have control. It's to keep you in the anointing. Amen. It's to keep you under the funnel. Keep you under the spout. Amen. So when people talk about order, they're like, oh, he wants control. He wants you to submit everything. No, no, no. It's about staying in alignment with the flow of what God's doing in us. And we say, let's stay under this, because this is what's going to give us life.
Amen.
Amen.
That's truly what order is about. Are there times when it's good not to prophesy? Yeah, I think a couple little tips would be, yeah, if you're angry. If you're angry at someone, you're probably not the person to give the word right now. You know, you might go deal with that. Or if you're angry about a certain situation, you're probably not the person to speak into that prophetically at the moment. You know? If you're angry at the race wars going on, maybe you should hold off before you bring the word, right? Like, let's wait till, let's get the burden off your heart, and then go get the word of the Lord, by all means. Yeah. Let's bring it. So there are times when to do that. And the problem that we were having in that church growing up was that woman, that particular person, would speak out in tongues. She would immediately bring her own interpretation. So there was no real opportunity for someone else to interpret. In the beginning, I think there was, but there towards the end, not so much. It was, she brought the word of tongues and then brought a word in prophecy. And so basically what she did is she turned that gift, which she did have a legitimate gift in her life, she turned that gift into a platform to insert what she thought. It's a big no-no, right? That is breaking protocol. That is get kicked out of the OR kind of situation. Breaking protocol. It requires a conversation, you know? And if you break protocol, that's what happens, you know, with us. If I break protocol in that OR, you know, we're going to have a conversation. And they say, we're going to fix this. And if you continue that, you just can't be a part of this operation any longer. That sounds kind of harsh, but I mean, if the world does it, I mean, how much, if someone's elbow is that important that we would say, you need to stay out because this elbow is the main thing. And if you can't figure out how to follow protocol so we can take care of this elbow, how much more does God value our heart and the hearts of people that we say, you know what, if you can't handle protocol, this heart is so important right now that they are under the anointing, that we have to stay in order so that God can accomplish what He wants to do inside of them. Amen. Building order. It's just maturity, right? It's maturity. And so she would use it as a platform. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with man." That means God built His platform. You know, I mean, now, in that situation, she would create her own platform. Jesus grew in favor with God, and then He grew in favor with man. That means there is a growth that happened vertically between Him and Jesus, and then there was rapport and development that happened with people. Now, Jesus didn't step into His ministry till He was of age and 30. He followed the law. So He built favor with man as well as with God. And God could give him the platform. And God increased that platform so he could speak. Well, I mean, now we're in an era of social media where you don't have to build favor with men to have a voice. You just hit the share button. Actually, you can pay money so that your videos arise in people's feeds. Now, I'm not against media ministry. I think it's a powerful thing. And I use it. I receive from it. So I'm not against it. But what I'm saying is that there is a pit that you could fall into, that if you build your ministry in a place that requires no accountability, that's a problem. You know, and your voice is getting amplified on that. And so it's important that there's accountability, you know, and we let God build our platforms. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time." If you take God's job in exalting you, He'll take your job and humble you. You know, it's God's role to bring you up. It's our job in September to say, God, we will humble ourselves and pray and call on you and pray for you to show up. And God says, I will exalt you in due season. That's the picture of the Bible. It's resurrection. It's arising. It's coming up. It's the nature of how things work. God gives you a voice that you may all prophesy, but God did not give you prophecy so you have a voice. You know, we don't use our gifts to create our identity. We use our gifts because we're His kids. So, very cool. Some practical do's and don'ts about prophecy. You know, it's good to, I wouldn't say it'd be a rule. I think we should grow in maturity on when we say, "Thus says the Lord," or "God says," or "the Lord says," because while prophets in the Old Testament did that, and as you mature in Christ, there's a measure without an increase. When you say the Lord says, you're saying no one else can judge it. And that's breaking protocol. You know, we want to invite others. Be a part of what God's saying. I bear witness with you. I agree with you. This is what's God. Go after what's in your spirit. It matters. You know, if someone opens their heart to receive a prophetic word, that's not really the time to take them through deliverance. You know, it's not the time to cast out all of their demons or something. You know, like to, or to, it's not a moment of criticizing. You know, when someone opens up to receive ministry, don't betray that trust. Protect that heart. It's a beautiful thing to trust people. So, I think this is super powerful and something that we can all grow in. Kind of coming to the last part of this. Prophetic ministry is the ministry of releasing grace. When you speak out a prophetic word to someone, it releases transforming power to change a situation. The Bible says in Proverbs that life and death is in the power of the tongue. That when we speak things, there is a changing element to our words. When we speak God's word, it should cause impact and cause situations to change. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This command I entrust you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you. Let me read that slower. In accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, Timothy. That by them, by what? By those prophecies that you were given, you may fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes that's what we need to do, is take the prophetic word that was spoken over us and you use that word to stand.
Amen.
You use that word to advance forward. You know, there are so many times that, you know, doing this, gathering groups, you know, we've seen several groups of people over the past 3 years. And there are times when I was thinking, no, God, is it really worth doing? And I need to go back and review prophetic words. God, this is what you've told me. Because you've said this, I'm going to stand. Because you said this, I'm going to continue. And prophetic words equips you with tools to fight. They equip you with tools to overcome. This is what it should happen with us. You know, for me, I've got a prophetic word in my spirit that says, God says, I'm going to touch the tip of Texas with revival. And so I say, God, I'm not letting go of that word. I'm going to hold on to this word, and I'm going to have it until I bring it into my reality. By the prophetic word, fight. Most of the time, it's not even fighting the devil. It's fighting your own inhibitions. You're fighting your own flesh, you know, to want to quit, or fighting your own flesh to do something different, or to change the vision, or change the, oh, maybe we should just, you know, let's just go for something different. But the Bible says, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. It's a way of doing warfare. Doing warfare in your home, for your family, for your kids, praying for your kids. God, what have you said about them? Well, if they said, I'm going to be an evangelist to the world, that's what God's spoken to me. That's a tool for intercession. God, you said that he's going to be an evangelist to the world. And you see them not walking in that. No, God, you said this. You said this. And you begin to be an intercessor. It's, you know, the further you get into prophetic ministry, I think the closer you're going to get into intercession. That you're going to become a prayer warrior. And that your prayers are no longer just natural prayers, but you're praying prophetically, interacting from this earth realm to the heavenly realm, where you're speaking out the promises of God. God, you said this boy is going to be an evangelist. I heard him. I heard you speak through him, and he is going to go to the nations. I hold to this word, and I speak it out. I speak it out, God. It's coming to pass. When you're making those confessions, how many know it changes the atmosphere of the room? It changes the scenario. You're warring for him on his behalf, and for some reason, you know, that person is going this way, and then God is just slowly leads them back and leads them there. So God is looking for you to agree with him. When prophetic words come out, he's looking for people to agree with it and say, I'll have it in my life. Now, when Peter was walking on, was in the boat, he sees Jesus, and what's he say? Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus says, come, and Peter steps out. That's the nature of prophetic ministry, is it requires your agreement, but once you agree, you do things that are absolutely supernatural. You do things you never thought you would do. You experience things you never thought you experienced because you stepped out and believed on his word. Let's go to a couple verses.
Can I make a comment on that?
Please. Good timing because I need to flip my Bible.
Yeah. I heard Bob Hazlitt talk about a prophecy.
Okay.
And he gave a prophetic word to this soccer player that he knew nothing about. And he said, he told this guy, you're going to be in the World Cup, and you're going to kick the winning goal for your team.
Wow.
And this guy was a professional player, but he wasn't very good. And he was just a so-so player. But he took the prophecy, and he started training. He started, like, believing it, and he became a better player. They had the selection for the World Cup team for his country. He wasn't selected. But then, during the tournament, one of the players on his team got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed them to select someone else, and he got selected. So he was on the World Cup team. He didn't really play until the last game, and they were tied all through the game, and the guy got hurt. One of their key players got hurt. He got into the game. Lo and behold, he kicks the winning goal, and they win the World Cup. And part of the prophecy was that he would become famous and that he would lead many youth to Christ. And that all came to pass.
Wow.
But he took an active role. He said, I'm going to do my part.
Amen.
You know? So, and it just spoke to me what you just said. You know?
Amen. That's a really good example.
You agree with it.
Amen. So I want to give you a couple other examples. That's really good. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. There's a prophecy, and it reads, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth a desert, a highway for our God. So there's a man that showed up in the New Testament, and John the Baptist, who's out baptizing people. He's telling people to repent. You know, he's an aggressive prophet. He dresses funny. He eats weird. He's out doing his prophet thing, you know, Old Testament style. And the people came to him in verse 19. It says, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? So they come to John. They say, what are you doing? And he confessed and did not deny. But confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then, are you Elijah? And he said, I'm not. He said, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Well, in verse 23, he said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Come on.
Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. So that tells us that he's reading this old-timey scroll one day, reading Isaiah 40, reading through the verses like any other day, studying Scripture, ministering to God. Let's see, what's verse 42 say? Isaiah 40, verse 2, speak kindly. This was not him. It says, comfort my people. Says your God, speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And he's reading this one day, and he reads that and doesn't stand out, I suppose. But then he reads, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth a desert, a highway in the desert, a highway for our God. He reads this big giant funky scroll and says, That's me. I was born for that. That word, that scripture became prophetic. And the Pharisees came to him and say, what do you say about yourself? Some of the best things we can do is come into alignment with our own destiny and agree with it. When you come into alignment with what God has said over you and you begin to agree with it, it's like that convergence. It's that overlapping where you are functioning at 100% in full alignment with your destiny in that moment. And our goal in a prophetic culture is for everyone to get to that point where you are at 100% passionate, doing 100% exactly what you're called to do. That is the ultimate goal that we're shooting for here, is to get what you make those adjustments, you make those tweaks, but when someone comes to you and says, who are you and what do you say about yourself? So I'll tell you exactly who I am. I am that voice. That's me. And in doing that, it's where he found Jesus. You know, he's there baptizing people, dunking people in water, because the one who told him to do this said, you're going to see Jesus, you're going to see the glory of God. And he's dunking people. I love Bill Johnson talks about it. He says, you know, you probably dunked him and said, nope, that's not him. The next one, you know, dunked another one and said, nope. And looking for Jesus to come. And then Jesus comes and says, behold the Lamb of God that's come to take away the sin of the world. He was in position because he was in agreement with the prophetic word over his life. That is the power of prophetic words. It puts you in correct position. One more verse and we'll close. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Verse 17. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, Jesus, and he opened the book and found the place where it's written. This is Jesus. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Verse 20. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is Isaiah 61. That's what he's quoting. He says, this thing is happening right in front of you. This prophetic word about me, I am in agreement that this is, I am what this says I am. And it's happening right before your eyes. That was his message. You know, that is the power of the prophetic, that we would come into alignment and say, God, I agree with what you said about me. I was doing it the other day. I had like three words come to me recently. From three different people told me, Adrian, you're administrative. I thought, man, I don't know where my keys are. Like, I mean, like, you're administrative. It takes me 10 minutes to find my keys before I leave for work. I got it from one person. I got it from another person. I got it from the third person. I thought, oh, I better start paying attention to whatever that it's supposed to be because, you know, I don't. And you know what I started doing is I began to pray, God, this is clear. This is clear word coming from three people that are not connected to each other. Administrative, administrative, administrative. And so what I had to do was repent and say, God, I repent. I'm administrative. I'm going to walk in this. I walk in the gift of administration. God, I ask you for the grace to fulfill this word. And I step in. Stepping into your word. Stepping into the grace to fulfill the word. When you agree with what God has said, there is all of heaven gets behind you.
Amen.
When you agree with what God has said about your life, it is a powerful thing because grace begins to flow. And that's the true fruit of the prophetic, is there's a flow of grace on it. And it comes on you and you begin to walk in it. And administration starts coming. So why is it coming? It wasn't there before. It wasn't there because the word hadn't been released yet. But when the word got released and I said, I'm going to agree with it and pull it down, now those gifts are going to start to flow. It's the power of the prophetic. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, here I am, I have come to do your will, O God. You know, another translation, it's in Psalm 40, verse 7 says, "Behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it's written of me." I've come to do my thing. I've come to step into what God has spoken over my life. It's my time for me to step into it and agree with Him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would begin to release to us a supernatural grace, Lord, where we can step into our calling, we can step into our grace, we can step into alignment with what you've said over our lives, God, that where there's been words spoken over us, Father God, we don't just set them off on the shelf and as dreams, but we reach up and we pull that grace into our life. We pull that grace into our life right now, Father God. Whatever you've spoken over us, God, we ask you, Lord, release the grace that we can step into what you've spoken over us in the name of Jesus. Release that grace, God, that prophetic grace, that life and virtue would begin to flow through our life in the name of Jesus. Release that grace, Father God. We say this about ourselves, God, just like John the Baptist. He said, what do you say about yourself? He said, I am that, what you've said. I am that, what you've said, Father God. We agree with it over our own lives. God, where you spoke to us, even for our body, God, you said that you would touch the tip of Texas with revival, Lord God. God, we say yes. We say yes. And we step into the grace. We step into the word. We step into the scroll. We step into the moment, Father God, that there would be a supernatural release that flows from heaven to earth, God, that there would be a highway flowing from heaven on earth, God, from heaven to earth, God, by our agreement, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's just take a few minutes and let's pray.